My guest at this time is Matthew McReynolds, staff attorney at the Pacific Justice Institute. The institute is representing parents of students at Florence High School in Colorado, near Colorado Springs. At issue is policy allowing the self-proclaimed transgender students use restrooms affiliated with the gender opposite of their biological origin. And now there are complaints that a male student is using both a female and male restroom facilities, and when using the female facilities, he is also harassing some of the young students at this high school. And Matt, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
When did you hear about this? When did this actually happen?
Well, this has been ongoing. And so we became aware of this fairly recently, just within the last couple weeks. Obviously, school hasn't been going for too long here, so this came to our attention and we started looking into it, and you know, we were really pretty shocked by what we found.
And there's been a huge, very public debate in the state where you're based, and that's California, about a legislation that passed in California, was signed into law, that is scheduled to go into effect early next year. I don't think a lot of folks knew about the fact that this policy was already in place in Colorado. How common is this around the country?
Well, Greg, you have to look at a couple of things. The law here in California was touted as being a first-of-its-kind law in the nation, but transgender activists actually talk out of both sides of their mouth on this, because they would say, they would insist that every school district in America is subject to the same kinds of situations and scenarios, because of the way that they would interpret federal laws like Title IX and just general definitions of gender.
What does a transgendered student, someone claiming to be transgendered, have to demonstrate in order to get this access? Is it just simply saying that I feel like I'm a boy trapped in a girl's body, or vice versa, and that's all that they need to demonstrate, or is there more to it?
Yeah, well, that's one of the really troubling aspects to this. It depends on who you ask, and it depends on where you go. I mean, here in California, the new law that we have, AB 1266, really has no standards for how you determine gender identity, and that's fairly consistent as you look around the country, and it seems to be the case in Colorado as well. Now, Colorado has some specific regulations that refer to situations where students will be in a state of undress, which is obviously one of the big concerns here. And it says that reasonable accommodations have to be made for transgender students. You know, there's a lot of vagueness and haziness in there, but you know, that's what we're plowing through in this scenario.
Matt, let's talk a little bit about this specific case now. It says that parents, this is from your letter and your press statement, parents at the school became irate when they learned that a teenage boy was entering girls' bathrooms and, according to some students, even making sexually harassing comments towards the girls he was encountering. What type of harassment are we talking about here? What was he saying?
First of all, it's our position that a teenage boy's entrance into the bathroom for teenage girls is inherently harassing. It's inherently violative of their privacy rights, and it's also intimidating when you have a boy like this who is not a freshman going in there with younger freshman girls. And so they feel, you know, violated, they feel intimidated, and that's been expressed to us. Details continue to emerge on this in terms of, you know, what kinds of comments may have been made. We've heard some reports that you know, he's commented on what girls are wearing or their figure while in the bathroom. I mean, that's if you can imagine that scenario from the reference and framework of a teenage girl, I think that's pretty harassing. But even just going in there when they're in there, we feel is inherently harassing.
And in terms of the legal avenues here, what are you doing on that front?
Well, we've sent a letter to the school district and their attorney. We expect to hear from them fairly soon on that. And what we're really going for is a solution that can be workable for everybody involved. And that's what we don't have right now. Where our students are in a scenario where they're being told, you know, if you don't want to be in this situation where this guy walks in while you're in the bathroom, then you've got to confine yourself to one staff bathroom that is very inconvenient, that's not even open all the time that they're on campus for athletic activities and things like that. You just have to give up your right to use the other dozen or so bathrooms on campus. You just have to clear out so that this one other student can do whatever he wants.
And just to clarify this, another major development in this story is that when girls have complained either about this boy simply being in there or even about harassing comments, they're the ones getting cracked down on, correct?
That's correct, and details are continuing to emerge on those fronts as well. But we have heard that some of the students have been warned that they need to stop talking about this. They need to stop talking about their constitutional privacy rights, more or less, or they may face repercussions in areas such as participation on school athletic teams.
Matt, in reading about this story on various news sites, you look at some of the folks who are defending the policy of allowing students of different genders to use the restroom or locker room facilities of opposite genders if they feel that that is their true gender identity. They say, this doesn't smack to us that it's accurate. Number one, you know, you have teenagers in dispute here, and you don't really know necessarily whether they're telling the truth. Maybe they just don't like each other, and this is the way they lashed out. And they say that a transgender person would feel at home in that setting, so therefore they wouldn't make harassing comments. What do you say to that?
Well, a couple of things. We're talking about a campus with quite a number of students on it. There are a lot of witnesses. You know, if there were nothing to this, I don't think the school district would be currently conducting a law enforcement investigation, which is what they're doing. And so beyond that, you've got to ask yourself, you know, when you have somebody who's acting very peculiarly, to say the least, you know, sometimes dressing as a girl, sometimes dressing as a boy, so vacillating back and forth, you know, why are we indulging that and making everybody else, you know, pretend like that is normal when clearly it's not?
And so how soon can this get rectified legally? Obviously, if you look at the court systems lately in terms of other issues related to gay marriage and that sort of thing, the courts have been trending against your position here. So when do you think this will go to a court, and how confident are you that you can win this thing?
We're hopeful it'll be resolved very quickly, because there are workable solutions short of litigation that are available. We hope the school will go that direction. They haven't given us much indication yet of what they are going to do. So we think you know, there can be solutions that can be acceptable, even if not perfect, to both sides. But we'll have to wait and see what they do.
And last exit question. This is obviously a very critical story in Colorado. How common is this in other places around the country?
Oh, we're starting to hear about it all over the place. I mean, if you do the math, you know, experts tell us that transgender individuals make up about 0.3% of the population. So, you know, if you have a high school campus with a couple of thousand kids on it, as is the case a lot of places, you know, there's a pretty decent likelihood that within that school or within that district, and especially as these kinds of behaviors become more bold, you're going to be seeing more and more of these. And we're just starting to hear about incidents like this all over the place.
Matt, do you ever think this would be a case you'd be involved with years ago?
You know, Greg, I think just a few years ago, this wasn't even on much of anybody's radar. Now we find ourselves right in the middle of it. You know, earlier this year, just a few months ago, I testified in front of the California legislature on the AB 1266 on this same issue, and it was just astounding to me to listen to the things being said on the other side. Again and again we heard there would be no problems with this kind of legislation, that we were just being transphobic for even suggesting that there might be problems resulting from these kinds of policies. And now And unfortunately, what we predicted is coming true in a number of different locations.
Matt, we'll leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Matthew McReynolds, staff attorney at the Pacific Justice Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.